Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the Juggernaut.
Yo.
Jake Ellenberger. Marina just texted me saying she can't come in today. She's training. She's too sore. She's got a fight coming up. A big announcement. She has a fight coming up July 9th, which I'm going to be at for Invicta. You're stoked about that. In Vegas.
That's awesome.
Before we start the show, I want to thank our sponsors. RemoveItRestoration.com. Has your business been vandalized? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? Call the professionals and get it done. They remove all types of vandalism. They restore your etched windows and get your business back to a brand new for a fraction of a cost, of the cost. Your business is important. Come on, people. Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration at 1-888-424-9697 or go to RemoveItRestoration.com. Now, talk to Eric. Eric is the guy in charge there. Super cool guy. Sponsors fighters. Great person. Definitely. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsor, HempCore. I have been working out my body. Honestly, my body's ready, people. Thanks to HempCore. It's go to HempCoreStore.com, HempCoreStore.com. It's a Canadian company that supplies athletes with 100% organic hemp protein. Grown on the prairies. I've never been to a prairie, but it sounds fucking awesome if it's full of hemp. It's a great alternative to processed supplements that include a ton of unpronounceable ingredients, right? You take this stuff, you have no idea what's in it. Not with HempCore, 100%. It's gluten-free. It's GMO-free. Check out the ingredients. It only has one. It's hemp. It's used by MMA fighters all over North America. They also sponsor Jordan Mean. He's a tough dude. Visit HempCoreStore.com, HempCoreStore.com. I'm telling you guys, you're going to love it. Also, they take Canadian money, so you could save some money. And finally, our newest sponsor, my boy Sean, American Icon Autographs. I'm telling you, their website is www.aiase.com. They have sports and celebrity memorabilia. They have signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Go to their signings. Guys like Mike Tyson, Cheech and Chong, Hendo, Hulk Hogan, Burt Reynolds, Ernie Banks, John Wooden, Marcus Allen, just to name a couple of them. I'm telling you guys, if you have a man cave, you want to decorate it, this is the place. AIASE.com, American Icon Autographs. Ask for Sean, another great dude. What's up, people? It's the new podcast. It's me and Jake. I'm actually, I was having a kind of a rough week. Me and that girl broke up.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, me too, man. I actually liked her. And I deleted my Tinder because of her. I knew as soon as I deleted the whole Tinder that was the beginning of the end.
That's a big step.
It was a huge step. Normally, no. I'm not, next time I'm waiting until after we get married to delete the Tinder account. Because, but this girl, she's beautiful, sweet, funny. It was too good to be true. I knew it. But she just got out of a 15-year relationship. Nine and a six year, that's 15. And she's not ready. It's weird. Like, I'm the girl in the situation. I'm like, come on, I want to settle down. Like, I think she's that good of a girl that guys just want to jump on her and keep her for themselves.
Sure.
And so that bummed me out.
That's a bummer. You think she was just like, just wanted to, is she just dating to have fun, just using you a little bit?
A little bit. I think, like, I was used for my cock. I do. which I don't have a problem with, actually. But I actually, you know what? A lot of things. I mean, she's a cool chick. I have nothing bad to say about her. We had a good time. It wasn't timing. Timing was off. I actually am ready. I'm actually ready to take it to the next step and see one person. And, you know, she just got out of a two bad relationships, and they've been a long time, and I get it. So,
I've been there, man. I've been there.
You've been there?
Yeah. I was kind of dated a girl for a little while, and I was really, really crazy about her, into her, but just the timing was never right. Like, it was kind of like we waited for a while, we dated, we waited. Like, the timing was never right, but it was the same situation. She had just got out of a serious relationship, so it's like, all right.
Yeah, I was bummed, you know. I hate being alone. That's one of my problems. I'm not very good at being alone, but I'm alone all the time. But I have nothing bad to say about this chick. She's like, she's cool. And, you know, I'm back. Actually, I went out with the XX. ex, like one of my first exes, like I think I'm gonna recycle all from the beginning. I'm just going back for the last 15 years. I'm just recycling. But no, and that was a good time. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I've
just
been,
a good time, or
well, we didn't like hook up. You know, we had a good time. I've been doing shows. Yeah. You know, I'm a hard guy to date. I do shows every night of the week. I work all day. Yeah. I have these
travel a lot.
Mm-hmm. These crazy UFC type jobs, and I'm not easy. Not easy to date. That's why, like, my last girlfriend, serious one, was a comedy club waitress. It was perfect. We had the same hours.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we broke up, and I can't go back to the comedy club. She's still there. Well, I can, but it's just awkward. And then I do jokes about her on stage while she's working, which is always a good time to have evil stares while you're trying to do your job. Imagine having your ex come to your job and just stare at you. Imagine being in the cage and having your ex-girlfriend be there with you as, like, your corner person.
Oh, yeah, that'd be tough.
That would be tough. So anyway, but I did shows every night of the week. I had one show, actually, that was three people there, three women. That was fun. It was three nurses. Really? But they were a good crowd. I'd rather have three good people than 500 shitty people. Yeah. And then I did a show in Venice. There was a burlesque show right afterwards. That was cool. The haha. I did the haha all week. My friend Brandon took me to a strip club, like a black strip club.
Okay.
You ever been to a black strip club?
No.
They're so much better than white strip clubs.
Really?
Yes. It's not even close.
Explain, like, what's the difference between...
First of all, like, every girl's twerk... Like, the tech that they were came out of the womb twerking. I mean, they're professional twerkers. These girls, they had their clothes on, and it was dirtier than any strip club that I've been to when people are naked. Wow. I mean, their lap dances are... They're not really lap dances. They're dry humps. and then, of course, people were just making it rain, pouring rain. I mean, just... Yeah. And of course, there's Too Short in the corner. Like, of course, he's there. Mm. Too Short with like a stack of ones, just a huge stack. I think everyone thought I was a cop. I was the only white guy there. Like, I think people thought I was like busting the place.
Yeah. Funny because like you kind of have like a serious face though. Like, if you don't know, if somebody wouldn't know you, they'd be like, I don't know, who's this guy?
So yeah, people thought that I was either that or someone's parole officer or something. It was crazy. And then I went to Uncle Creepy invited me to a party on when was that? On Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
For Sweeble. It's his like new app that he's getting behind. And I saw him and Carla Esparza.
Oh yeah.
It was cool seeing Carla.
Yeah. How's she doing?
She's doing good. I could definitely tell that loss was hard on her.
Yeah.
You know, she definitely needed some time and just to herself.
Sure.
But I love Carla. She's a cool chick. I saw her, and then I did a show in Hollywood. And you know who Sean Malto is? Some skateboarder kid. You know Sean Malto? So this guy, Sean Malto's in the crowd. I don't know who he is. He's with like one of the Jonas Brothers. And I had a great set. I rocked it. And then this guy came up to me, Sean Malto, and he's like, hey, man, you're really funny. You want to perform me next? I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a skateboarder. I'm like, oh, are you good? He's like, not really. I look at his Instagram. He's got 500,000 followers on Instagram. Yeah. I guess he's one of like the best in the world, right? Or he was at one point.
No shit.
Yeah, I mean, I had nice, humble, unassuming kid.
Yeah.
You would never know that he was like this huge skateboard guy.
No, it's funny. I met a guy down in Newport. His name's Nyjah. Same thing. He's like one of the best skateboarders. And this guy, Dr. G, one of the chiropractors that I work with, he's like a therapist and a chiropractor. And he was like, no, this kid's one of the best skateboarders in the world. But he's, you know, Dr. G's a big bullshitter. So you're not sure kind of what to believe. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then like hung out with him. Super cool dude. Like, yeah, same thing. Go to Instagram. He's got like 800,000 followers. Like, and he is like, I'm watching him on, Rob Dyrdek's, the new skate series he has, and he won the whole thing. He is like the best skateboarder on the planet.
These guys are funny. Holy, it's funny how these guys are so humble, you know, which is cool. I mean, I was like, so that was cool.
Well, I mean, you look at him and you're like, you're not sure if he's like working at Starbucks or if he's like, you know, he's the best skateboarder on the planet. Like,
right.
I was blown away.
Oh, I gotta say, by the way, MMA Roasted, according to Fighters Only magazine, which is one of my favorite magazines. I think I've read every episode for the past every copy for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. We are ranked number 15 in the hottest
boom
things in MMA. Front cover, hottest in MMA. We are number 15. Number 15. How fucking cool is that?
That's fucking awesome.
Number 15. It says, remember when 40 million people Click to watch Daniel Cormier dance around with his shirt off, scoffing fried chicken and letting the world know about all about the cake. Well, the viral hit of 2015 was the brainchild of podcast host Adam Hunter, whose weekly Fox Sports show is a source of much more MMA mirth. How fucking cool is that?
That's awesome.
Number 15, man. People. Fighter and the Kid's number, they're number 12. Awesome. But we're coming for everyone. Next year, number one. By the way, starting in July, guys, like I said, we're doing two podcasts a week, and they'll be up that day. How fucking
Hell
cool
yeah.
is that?
Awesome,
but yeah, number 15. I was stoked about that. I was really happy about that. It actually made my day. And I'm trying to raise, dude, raising money for this film is not easy, man. So as you guys know, I wrote the movie Pinned. I'm trying to get money for it, and I'm literally DMing every single person that follows me to donate, yeah. Which is a lot of. I mean, so far we've raised over $10,000 in 3 weeks, which is good actually. And a guy promises $5,000, so $15,000. I probably need about $150 to make this movie. It's hard, but I'm telling you, it's the first wrestling comedy. Yeah. I'm going to star in it. It's going to be hilarious. Jake has a part in it.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely going to put MMA fighters in it. And it's like Dodgeball, but for MMA. The movie Dodgeball. And it's got heart. It's funny. It's never been done before. So make sure you support Pinned.
So what's the whole goal? Like, obviously raising money to be able to produce it, right? Or like, is that, or are you going to sell the?
No, I'm raising money to make it.
Make it.
I'm raising money to make it, shoot it,
because some people
are
asking me, I just want to, you know, make.
Yeah, yeah. Make it, shoot it, star in it, release it. Hopefully it'll be in a theater. It has to go to Netflix. It is what it is. But like, kind of how like the Foot Fist Way, they made that for $60,000. It's going to be, we're going to make it for cheap. It's going to be bare bones, but it's going to be hilarious. And I know we can do it. I got a school that's willing to, my old boarding school, Hyde, is willing to shoot it there. It's going to be great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not easy, though.
Speaking of wrestling, they just had the World Team Trials this last weekend. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
Yeah. When a buddy of mine, I wanted to congratulate Travell DeLagna. He's a heavyweight. So he made another world team. So
nice.
Jordan Burroughs, you know, the Team USA is
did Jordan
stacked,
did
man.
He beat Kyle Drake? Kyle Dake?
He did. He made another world team.
Wow.
But man, it's unbelievable. Like, you got so much. That's the thing people don't realize with wrestling. It's like there's so many good guys at a weight class. It's like literally whoever has a better day. You know, you could have 10 guys that are all like world level competition guys. And so no, it's going to be exciting, especially for the world championships coming up here this fall. Going to be in Las Vegas. So I'm stoked for our guys.
Good.
We have a nasty team though.
Oh yeah, hell yeah! And I'm telling you, and this movie's gonna do what the Mighty Ducks did for hockey.
Oh yeah,
yeah, because there's never been a wrestling comedy before.
I know.
So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited about it. So that's another. It's good to have goals. I haven't had a goal in a while. I always have goals, and my goals are always like be the best comic I can be. You know, it's weird when you have like actually time on your goals. You know.
Oh yeah.
So Marina's got a fight. Excited about that. UFC 180. I do know she's fighting, but I'm sure you can find it. UFC 188. Let's talk about that for a second. Kane versus Werdum. Everyone's blaming the altitude. Well, my thoughts
on
that.
Man, it's hard to say.
Now you fought in that altitude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you fought Kelva, could you feel the difference?
Man, it's hard to say. It's more psychological than anything.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't fought. Like, I haven't fought very many times in altitude, so it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's hard to say. Like, from a physiologically, it's they say after like 20 minutes, 15, 20, like if you were to run a marathon or do something that was like an Ironman or something that was going to be a long duration of time, then you would definitely feel the effects of the altitude. But they say like if it's a short 5, 10, 15 minute that you really don't from a physiological standpoint. But who knows? You know, it's hard to really say.
It seemed like it did have an effect on him. I mean, if you look at even the Gilbert Melendez and Eddie Alvarez fight, those are two guys that never get winded and seem to never get tired. And those guys looked like they were tired.
Yeah.
I think Kane wins this rematch in regular, if they do it in a regular place, as opposed to 7,800 feet.
And Verdum's smart, though. He goes down there. I know the last time he fought in Mexico City, the same thing. I think 8 or 9 weeks down there. So it's like he's training in it. He knows exactly what to expect, which is smart, you know, and it definitely paid off.
The bad thing about MMA is that there's no tune-up fights. Mm-hmm. Like, if Mayweather took 2 years off, he wouldn't fight the number one guy if he was the champ. You know, it seems like that would be a good... Even if you would have thrown him against a Brendan Schaub or a Kane against, you know, even like a Ben Rothwell or somebody that would get him ready for that next fight against Verdum. Mm-hmm. To have him go up against after 600 days off, it was not the same Cain Velasquez that we're used to seeing.
Yeah. No, definitely. He definitely looked off, and it's hard to say. You know, he's coming off an injury too, rehab and everything. There's a lot of things we don't know, but he didn't look like himself, that's for sure.
But also, Verdum took his punches. I mean, he was landing some huge bombs that a lot of people would not be able to take. I mean, Brock Lesnar went breakdancing afterwards.
Yeah.
you know, and Verdum was able to stand there and trade with him, which was crazy. Like I said, I mean, Verdum has upset more fighters than the Reebok deal. I mean, he can pull off upsets.
Yeah. Lesnar got recruited to the Jabberwockies after the
he won America's Got Talent after Cain hit him. So... I think
I'm a fan of both guys though. Like I like Verdum. I've trained with him plenty of times. Cain is an unbelievable fighter. I still think Cain at his best it does not get beat.
Yeah,
that's just what I think.
But, he was not at his best. He looked physically soft.
Yeah,
kind of.
Well, like, he did, exactly. We haven't seen him look like that. That's why you're like, is the altitude? You know, did you have something? Did your training didn't go very well? But it's hard. Who knows?
I was talking to T-Rex, and he was talking about how DC can now win the title at both. If DC can go to heavyweight and fight Verdum. And might be able to beat Verdum at heavyweight, and then DC now has two belts. I know that could happen. I mean, it's a little far fetched. I think Cain deserves that first rematch. People are saying Arlovski. I'm like, no, dude. If you're the champion and you lose the belt, you should be able to have the first rematch.
Yeah, especially as dominant as Cain's been. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
beating Junior Dos Santos, he's beating the top heavyweights consistently. So it's like, it would be the right thing to give him the rematch.
Yeah, I mean, but also, why is Arlovski talked about it more than Stipe is? I think Stipe comes before Arlovski or Rothwell.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was such a big upset when Arlovski beat Travis Brown.
Yeah,
that's why it was kind of like, holy shit, this guy should be now. The rankings don't mean, you know, like you said, rankings don't mean a damn thing.
But Mitrione called out Brown on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow, I would like to see that fight.
Who wins that fight?
Brown.
Easily?
I don't know about easily, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing about fighting, man, is like everyone has... Like, if you look at Travis Brown and the amount of skills he has, it's like clearly he didn't use all his skills in the last fight.
Right.
So it's like he looked like he kind of limited himself a little bit, but he has more ways to win that fight.
It looked like he was hit once, clean, and then never recovered.
Yeah.
It seems that a lot of those guys, even like Yancey, his last fight... It's like a lot of these guys, they're not prepared for that one shot. They get hit that one time, and then everything becomes different.
Yeah,
they're never able to kind of bounce back to where they once were.
I agree. I think and even more than that, it's like their decision-making goes out the window. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to make clear decisions and think clearly. And if you get, you know, some of these guys get hit, and they start doing shit they don't normally
do. Have you ever been hit like that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the Cammon fight, is that?
I mean, I've been hit a few times, I would say. Robbie, probably the same thing, but it's hard like to stay disciplined if it makes sense.
Yeah,
like, even when you get hit, because people spar fucking million rounds, but it's like it's not the same. It's just not the same. But
Yeah, luckily comics we don't have that problem. Although sometimes a joke bombs, and then you're never able to get back out of that hole. That's the thing about stand-up comedy. The more I do it, the more.
You haven't got like attacked, like the high heel or something, like a lady. I'm sure.
I got a menu thrown on my head one time.
A menu.
I was at a Montreal, which was the biggest comedy festival in the world. It was like my fourth callback. 4 minutes in, I do a joke about an old person, a lady. She must have been Nolan Ryan's grandmother because she winged the fucking menu at my head, hit me flat in the center, and I was trying to go back to jokes, and my head just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was never able to come back.
Really?
So yes, I can relate.
I get you.
By the way, I'm getting surgery on my leg, August 20th.
Are you really?
Yes. Yeah, so then I'll be back
knee, right?
In the gym.
Hell yeah.
Doing jiu-jitsu. No more electric chairs. That was really dumb of me. I should have just tapped right away. It's that wrestling pride, hard-headedness where I'm like, I can get out of this move. I can get out of this move.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tap. And then eventually, crack. It's like your body is not, you know, sometimes as tough as your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes your body's tougher than your mind, but for some people. Eddie Alvarez, man. Melendez. My thoughts on this fight. I thought Gilbert won, but it wasn't a robbery. It could have went either way.
Yeah, it was close.
If you award takedowns, I could see why people would give it to Alvarez. I think Gilbert Melendez might be too nice of a guy because he has a guy in front of him with one eye and he doesn't aim for that eye. And I think there's a certain motherfuckeredness, killer instinct, where you see a guy ahead of you and you see they have one eye or a broken, you know, or a fucked up ear or a fucked up leg, and you just keep going for it.
Yeah.
And I think Gilbert, I don't know if he was being nice or didn't realize how shut the eye was, but it didn't seem like he really, he seemed like he wanted to beat him his way and not really adjust to how the fight was going.
Kind of got in the way of himself a little bit.
In some way, it's sometimes it's like you have a game plan, and sometimes certain things happen, you have to adjust. But there are certain people out there that they just want to do that game plan.
Yeah. I think at this level, it's like you got guys that are so talented, whoever executes the right strategy, you know what I mean? Like I used to fight an organization called Bodog with Eddie Alvarez, and at the time, we were like, this kid's probably the best lightweight in the world. And, you know, before he went into Bellator, and he's still like a phenomenal athlete. Like if you see him train and stuff, you're like, wow, this kid he's amazing. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you said, I don't think it was a robbery. I do think Melendez could have won this fight, but you know, it comes down to executing. And at this level, these guys are both, you know, it's so, like I said, it's so close. It's hard to.
Nate Diaz had one of the funniest interviews with Ariel Helwani afterwards.
I saw that.
Was unbelievable. He's like, fuck you, Eddie. He was so damn funny. The Diaz brothers, they are the best. Someone should just hire them as commentators during a fight. Someone should just get the Diaz brothers, even if it's amateur fighting or like some like very low level tier fighting, give the Diaz brothers, let them commentate. I'm telling you, back in the day when Don Fry would commentate and he would just start talking about his own fights during the fights, I think it was shark fighting where literally it was Don Fry and Boz Rutten, and they would get drunk. You could tell that he was getting drunker, slurring. And next thing you know, they weren't even talking about the fight that was going on. They're talking about their fights from back in the day. And that was goddamn awesome. Someone let every week have Nate Diaz comment, have the Diaz brothers comment. That's an idea and a half. If I had money,
you could, yeah,
I would do that in a heartbeat.
You could pay for that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Complete bias. I mean, Phil Baroni one time was commenting a fight. I think it was the War Machine Roger Huerta fight. And he literally kept the microphone on when he went to the bathroom, and you could hear him go, yo, I think the ring girl wants to fuck me while he's in the bathroom over the thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, get him to commentate too. By the way, Baroni is doing great as a pro wrestler. He's really doing a really good job. I'm really proud of him because Phil's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's been through some adversity.
Oh, absolutely. To say the least. Marquardt versus Gastelum, that went exactly how I thought. You picked Marquardt in that fight. What did you think of that fight?
You know, it's a tough call. Marquardt, he is a little bit older, obviously, than Gastelum. Gastelum's a tough kid. I figured that Marquardt would be a little bit more comfortable at 185, but, you know, at the end of the day, Gastelum's a tough kid, man. He did what he had to do. And I think he's probably also has that used to that altitude as well. It's like it doesn't affect him at all. I don't know. Marquardt didn't come out for the third round, right? Hurt or he was just
getting beat up. I mean, that fight should have been stopped in the second round. They allowed him to take too much punishment. During the fight, Askren tweeted out, Marquardt looking like a bum, needs more roids. That's what Ben Askren wrote. Wow. I love Ben. Look, I think that...
Do you think he'll ever get in the UFC? Like
Ben Askren?
Yeah. I'm a big Askren fan. He's not helping his case in the UFC, though.
Needs more roids.
That's a play. I know it's funny.
Do I think he's got to beat Luis Santos in a more way? I mean, Ben Askren, I think he's a winner. You know, he finds a way to win.
Absolutely.
And he has that winner's mentality. I don't know if he even cares anymore at some point. You know, he seems to somehow, in some ways, people are rallying behind him more not in the UFC. And he also gets shit on. Every time he tweets something and I retweet it, people go, you fucking suck, you bad, no one cares what you have to say, go fuck yourself. And he doesn't care. He does not give a shit.
You get, well, I mean, tweeting stuff like that, you gotta not care.
He does not care.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he even reads it. But he's so hated on, but he doesn't give a shit.
I love social media.
He's undefeated too, which I think is awesome.
No, he's a stud. He's an Olympian. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was with Chael, I think we were watching him wrestle. This was back in like 2008.
Yeah.
And I think he was, we're like, man, this guy, if he came in, this was long before he came into MMA, but he was talking about him. He's like, yeah, if he comes MMA, man, he could be easily one of the best.
By the way, people on the underground, they were killing me. There was this thread going around, and I subscribed to it because, like, they have names for certain fighters, right? And so now they're having, you know, like Motivated BJ, right? Motivated BJ Penn is unbeatable. You know, Dark Place GSP, etc. So now someone put, can we add Low Altitude Kane? So Low Altitude Kane is unbeatable. High Altitude Kane, not good. So this is what this guy, Rhino Hog, his name is Rhino Hog. I don't know who this guy is, but he made me laugh last night.
He goes,
Focus Gallard, Old and New Vitor, Proper Training Camp Rampage, Chuck with that look in his eyes, Liddell. Healthy Rua. Televised Seaver. That's not good. Televised Seaver loses a lot. Blackout Cruz. Blackout. Remember when Cruz came back and he was completely blacked out and he just beat the shit out of Tekiyama? What is that kid's name?
Mizugaki.
Mizugaki. Yeah. So Blackout Cruz is unbeatable. Post diverticulitis Brock. I can't even say it right. Has to take a shit Weidman because he had to take a shit before his last fight. Stockton Slap Cowboy. I guess that's not good. Does Rothwell have one? Evil Genius Rothwell. His last fight.
His post-fight speech was, it was great.
Oh, that was one of the best. I don't even know. What was that? It was like he was possessed by zombies. Somebody has Last Round Condit. Another one, somebody said, Prime Fedor, Divorced Randy, Burping Clay Guida. These just made me laugh. Like, I think you'd be surprised, Schaub.
I think you'd be surprised.
Sea Level Kane. I guess there's a Sea Level Kane. Broke Fidge.
Sea Level Kane.
Sea Level Kane's a good one. Pre-Crash Mir. Pride Shogun.
Hey, Mir did awesome after the motorcycle crash.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like Sea Level Kane.
that one's the best, I think.
Calcium Deficiency Silva, pre-enhanced testing Kane, and then Calcium Deficiency. That's funny. So whoever,
that's great.
Thanks for making that, because that actually really made me laugh.
I didn't get a chance to see the Angelina and Tessa Torres fight.
Awful. You missed nothing.
Was it bad?
I talked to Tisha afterwards. It's funny that guys are now apologizing after wins. I don't even understand that.
For what?
Tisha was like, sorry, it could have been more exciting. Tisha, you got the win.
Yeah.
The object is to win. You can't always have entertaining fights. Basically, Angela Hill did not defend a takedown very well.
Mm-hmm.
Tisha kind of just took her down and just laid on her. Won, did a little more damage, won the fight all three rounds. Which probably, Hill probably wasn't expecting that from Tisha, because Tisha's more of a stand-up fighter.
Yeah.
But you have to be, I think, as a fighter, you have to expect what they're not expecting you to do, or what they're expecting you to do, right? You got two strikers, you can't assume that the guy's going to think you're going to, right? You have to be one step ahead.
No, right? I get what you're saying, yeah.
Water Boy's probably thinking that you're just going to wrestle, grind forward, and throw punches, right?
Probably, yeah,
would
assume.
What if you came out with a spinning back elbow?
Well, I won't be doing that, Adam, but I get what you're saying.
You're not going to do that? Why not?
No, come on, Adam. I'm going to walk straight forward and do what I got to do.
Have you ever thrown a spinning back elbow?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Spinning elbow, yeah. Actually, guys will walk right into it.
Nice.
It's a good counter, but it's not an opening move. It's not my go-to, if you know what I mean. Oh, that's great.
Dude, I was, I'm telling you, jiu-jitsu has definitely helped my sex life, though, because I've been, the other night I was having sex, and I was on the bottom, and I was just like thrusting her up from the, you know what I'm saying, from the bottom. I was like sort of like getting out, like it was sort of an escape. I wasn't doing the Vitor Belfort throwing punches up from the guard, but I was making her hips move from the bottom while I was like, wow, this is actually a pretty good workout. And it was a good time.
Thanks to all your mount escapes. Or,
yes. I mount escaped from the bottom, which was great.
Right on.
Thank you very much. Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah. Johnny Case looked great. He's a super nice guy. We're getting him on the podcast. Bubba McDaniel, by the way, last week went to jail. You know Bubba McDaniel? Remember him?
Yeah.
He was on The Ultimate Fighter. He was John Jones' training partner. Yeah. He's the guy that, what's his name, knocked out Uriah Hall. And he lost to Brad Tavares in the UFC, went to Bellator, lost in Bellator. So he got a seatbelt ticket, didn't want to pay it, went to jail for a day instead.
Okay.
And he says that he needs money for a fight. So we're going to have him on the podcast and try to get him some help, try to help the guy out. I actually wrote a joke about him. I go, the guy can't even beat a ticket. But I like Bubba McDaniel. So we're going to get him on the show. And Cathal Pendred won. People were booing him. He's 4-0 in the UFC, although people thought his last fight against, I guess, Sean Spencer, he lost. But Cathal won. Another guy. He wins his fight.
Mm-hmm.
The guy didn't want to engage against Dodger Montoya. And then he apologizes afterwards. Sorry, guys. Could have been better. And I wrote back, what the fuck are you apologizing for? You won your fight.
Yeah.
You won. You dominated.
Oh,
you won.
Adam, I know. Fighters are stupid.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. The majority of it's like my job is not to make sure the crowd has a good time. I could give a shit about that. It is to win and go home. That is it.
I think so, maybe that's. I think maybe
fight,
that's the difference.
Fight doesn't matter.
I think that's more of the wrestling mentality. I think people that were high school and college wrestlers, they care about winning.
Yeah.
And sometimes you win 5-4, 3-1.
Oh yeah.
I think these other guys who come from a kickboxing background or a boxing background, it's about maybe entertaining. Yeah, you know, I think that's the difference between sports and entertainment. If you look at it as like a sport, you got the win. If you look at entertainment, yeah, the crowd was booing. Fuck it. You're 4-0.
Yeah.
Okay? There are a lot of people out there. The crowd's cheering. They're getting the shit beaten out of them. They're cut. They're out of the UFC. They're not there. The crowd's not going to be there when you're in jail for getting a seatbelt ticket.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, there's no job security either. It's like, well, if you win, that's about as much job security as you're going to get. You get the next.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There are plenty of guys out there that got knocked out who are no longer in the UFC, okay, because they were trying to be entertaining. Just get the win. And I understand people are like, Adam, what the fuck? I don't pay $50 to see the... All right. There are plenty of guys out there like Diego Sanchez who will stand in the middle of the octagon and trade punches with you until somebody falls down.
Oh, yeah.
there's a ton of guys out there that do that every single time.
Speaking of, wasn't Efrain Escudero, didn't he fight in Mexico?
Yeah. He got the win. Drew Dober.
I know.
Choked him out quickly.
Like, quick.
Quickly.
I was surprised. Wow, I was surprised.
I was happy for that guy.
But it's smart. People think he's probably going to go out there and just jump in the middle and trade. And
right.
He got it done.
He's a guy that I feel like he has yet to live up to his potential after winning the Ultimate Fighter. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for the guy because he was cut from the UFC. There are a lot of guys, just because you win the Ultimate Fighter, look at all the guys who won the Ultimate Fighter who are no longer in the UFC. I mean, Colton Smith, Kendall Grove, just off the top of my head, who else is there? There's a bunch of them.
Diego Sanchez still going strong.
Diego Sanchez
on the first season.
Is still. Eddie Truck Gordon's got to win his next one. He's in danger. You know, a lot of guys are in danger. You know, you have to just because you win Ultimate Fighter doesn't mean that you're actually going to dominate in the UFC, which is you know. Although I'm happy they're going back next season, I think, to the old Ultimate Fighter thing. Everyone complains. Everyone thinks, oh, the Ultimate Fighter sucks, man. It's old. It's too old. Then they do this Black Zillion versus American Top Team. Look, there's something about when I watch the Ultimate Fighter, seeing a guy from the country, seeing a guy come from nothing, seeing a guy that, like, crying that he made it, and seeing the family, that really makes me want to root for the guy. When you have guys already teamed up, I don't care as much. And maybe that's the American Idol story or what it is. But there's something nice about that. People living in a house that they don't know each other, and everyone gangs up on one person and they jerk off in someone's food.
Yeah.
You know, there's something nice about that. There's something very endearing about them peeing on someone's bed.
Yeah, when they're sleeping.
Yes.
That was great. No, I agree. It's funny though. I didn't realize how much Dan Lambert hates the
Black Zillion guy.
Yeah. I forgot his name, sorry. But the coach, it's it's pretty
Glenn cool. Robinson.
Glenn, yeah.
Yeah.
They really hate each other.
And they're in the same town.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And then like you have one guy tell them the story, oh, this is what happened. It's like completely different.
I know, but it's I don't know.
Yeah.
UFC this week, there's a big fight. Jessica Penny versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I'm rooting for, I know Penny. She's a friend of mine, so I got to root for Jessica.
Definitely.
But she's up against it.
She's, oh yeah, no, she, that's a tough fight. I'm definitely, Jessica, a good friend of mine, definitely rooting for her, you know. She can definitely win this fight. She's got to be smart and fight tactfully.
She's got to get it to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she just needs to stay in a good rhythm, you know, fight her fight and take this fight where she wants, you know. She can definitely win, but yeah, that's a, you know.
Well, I mean, Joanna, I was at her fight against Claudia, and I thought she lost that fight. I was there. It was in Arizona. Remember that fight? I was with your brother. It was fought that same card. And I didn't think she won that fight at all. But then last time against Carla, she looked like a world beater. I think that was partially Carla her, was, partially Carla.
Carla, I think, made her look pretty good.
Made her look better than... I think she's coming up better than maybe... Because her first fight, I thought she lost. The problem was the other girl, after the fight, kicked her. After the ref...
Oh, really?
Everyone started booing the other girl. Because no one even cared that she lost anymore because she kicked her after they separated it. So that's going to be a good fight. Dennis Seaver's fighting Kawajiri. It should be an interesting fight.
That is. Interesting fight. Couple of fire hydrants just going at each other, man. That's going to be a good one.
Who do you like in that fight?
Man, I was a big Kawajiri fan when he fought in Pride. Dream, I believe.
Yeah.
He was a killer. But I don't know. I don't know if it's the same guy in the UFC. You know, you see a lot of guys from Japan come back over here, and it's just, they don't look the same.
Well, he lost against Clay Guida his last fight. Guida looked really good. I think Guida's the one guy that I think is proving me wrong with Glendale Fight Club, because Edmund has done a great job with Clay Guida via his last fight. He looked better than he's looked in a long time.
Definitely.
But then Seaver looked like absolute dog shit against Conor McGregor. I mean, he looked like a human punching bag.
Yeah.
A German punching bag.
I think part of it was McGregor. He kept him on his heels, kept him guessing. It looks like he got tired pretty quickly, but...
I think it looked like also it was in Boston. I think he let the nerves get to him.
Yeah, well, styles make fights, man. I think this is going to be a good fight. This matchup, I mean, it seems like they're both hungry for a win, obviously, but I think it's going to be stylistically, it's going to be a good fight.
Yeah.
And then who do you got winning this fight?
Kawajiri.
Yeah.
I think Seaver shot.
Yeah.
Based on his last fight.
Okay.
you can't base everyone's career on one fight.
Yeah.
But I'm picking Kawajiri. Last week I picked Cain Velasquez over Verdum, and then I picked Gilbert over Eddie Alvarez. I would have went 0-2 there. So it's so hard to pick these fights.
Yeah, that is, man. I was like, it's funny, I have a lot of people asking me that make bets, and I'm like, I'm not even touching this card. Like, I didn't, obviously you didn't see Verdum winning the way he did.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I was leaning towards Alvarez, but I was like, man, I know how tough Melendez is, and they're both the scrappers, so I was like, I'm not even gonna.
Yeah, like I said, it was a draw. It could have been a draw.
Yeah.
People were like, fuck you taking the draw. It could have been a draw. It could have been a draw.
Fence playing, motherfucker.
Yeah, everyone's yelling at me, guys. By the way, Mitch Clark sends me pictures of dogs every week.
Dogs?
Random dogs.
All right.
I have no idea.
What kind of dogs?
They're cute. They're cute dogs. But, yeah. So, and then, of course, the fight this week between you, two young guns, two guys that that everyone wants to see. This is the fight we're all waiting for. Kimbo Slice versus Ken Shamrock this Saturday night.
Wow. I didn't know they were fighting.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, really?
No, really.
It's the fight of the decade. Not the fight of the decade. The fight of the decade. this is going to be the fight to save boxing right here.
They're boxing?
No. It's a fight to save boxing. No, Kimbo, it's on Bellator this Saturday night, I think, right? Wow. Saturday or Friday? I don't know.
I didn't know that. No,
yes.
Good, Adam, that's great.
Kimbo, have you seen Ken Shamrock, the way he looks?
No.
Dude.
Does he look skinny or what?
Skinny. I don't know what the fuck this guy's taking, but...
Oh, he just looks jacked.
Jacked beyond belief. Ken Shamrock.
Looks like Jay Cutler or what?
He looks ridiculously. I want to see if we can find a picture of him. It is so funny how jacked he looks. Ken, I mean.
This has got to be a paycheck fight.
What? They have to test. What? Oh, they got to test this guy on the way to the octagon. There's no way this guy is passing any kind of test.
How old is he, by the way?
He's like 50, 53,
oof.
54. No, he's, I posted a picture of it. And I posted a picture saying, like, thank God that Bellator is getting, cracking down on, like, PEDs. But it is beyond ridiculous how, where is this picture? I don't know. You're gonna laugh when you see it. I'm gonna try to find it. He's like 55 years old, but I still think Kimbo wins this fight. I think Ken's gonna stand and trade with him.
How, by arm lock or he's gonna back?
Triangle? By noogie. He's gonna win by noogie. I think
Ken, I got Shamrock by knee bar.
Real? I wished. Look, back in 1985, Shamrock would have wrecked him. It would have been less than a minute. But now this new Ken Shamrock, who likes to stand and trade with people, is gonna get killed. I just think he's gonna stand and trade with Kimbo Slice. Kimbo's gonna knock him out.
It should make Shamrock Ortiz 7.
And then they're gonna make Kimbo versus Tito.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what's gonna happen. Which I think Tito wins.
I gotta be honest. I'm a Kimbo fan. Who's not a fan of watching the backyard brawler? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, right here. This is him. I got a picture.
Get the fuck out of here!
Right?
Oh my god.
He looks jacked. He's like 55 years old.
That is.
How do you get like that, Jake?
A lot of pharmaceuticals.
Really?
I assume. I mean, I don't look anything like that.
Holy shit. I posted the picture on my Twitter, MMA Roasted. It looks insane.
Look at it. Wow.
Also, Pitbull is fighting Daniel Winchell. Should be a good fight. And Michael Chandler is fighting Derek Campos.
This weekend?
This weekend.
Where's the fight at?
It's in St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. That's right.
And then also, Adrian Broner is fighting. He's fighting somebody good. Adrian Broner's fighting the guy that knocked out Paulie Palignaggi. The guy that knocked out Palignaggi like through the ropes in four rounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good weekend for fights. Really good weekend for fights.
I heard they just announced the Miguel Cotto and Canelo fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Canelo's going to kill him.
I don't know, man. That's going to be a good fight, I think.
I feel like Cotto's been carefully matched. He fought Martinez with one leg. The other guys he's been fighting are like, these guys, they're not real big punchers. I'm going to watch. It's going to do huge money, though.
But I mean, if you look at, you know, Cotto's got a good jab. He's been looking good. I mean, I think he'll make it a good fight.
You know,
not letting Alvarez get inside, but we'll see.
So actually, we're going to go on Periscope right now, and we are going to answer some questions from the fans. So, by the way, you're training with the guy that your brother beat, right? I saw you on...
Oh, yeah, at Black House.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's been great. I've had some great guys to spar with over there, including Machida. There's a lot of good, solid kickboxers, you know, more of the karate, the more traditional style over there. So,
what do you think about Machida Romero?
As a fan, I love it. That's a fun fight.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, Romero's one of those guys. He's got just ridiculous power.
Yeah.
Like, the guy could knock anybody out. But can he go three rounds? Can he go five rounds?
He's also like 40 years old.
Yeah, I know it.
And he also, Tim Kennedy hurt him. Kennedy, by the way, Kennedy called out. You were there at that fight?
Yeah, I was like third row, but that was a crazy fight.
So, questions, by the way, how's Indiegogo for a pin going? Really good. We're over almost $11,000. Clean your camera lens. Foggy. I have to.
You're a little foggy, Adam.
How do I clean that?
Oh, just do a quick little swipe there.
Oh, okay. Is that better? Yes. Oh, thank you. You donated. Oh, thank you. I know you did, Mike. I appreciate that. We have 50 people right now tuned in. Did I poop? Tell Jake, shout out from Kyle from Sacramento.
Kyle, what's happening?
Yes, Kyle, what's happened? Did you have a script already? Yes, I do have a script. The script is badass. I'll email it to you. And then, no problem, by the way. It's a great script. Pin the script. Making the Fighters Only list. Thank you. I want to, MMA Roasted was going to get knocked the fuck out by Wonder Boy. Only Ellenberger will. What do you think about that? Somebody said that Wonder Boy's going to knock you out.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, motherfucker, okay? Jake Ellenberger is going to win. Yes. How to get his beautiful hair? It's been very hard. Laugh my ass off.
Yeah, he's very dangerous on the bob.
Yeah, you're fucking real, real tough. You guys hear about Bigfoot came out hiding to report a Matt Brown site? R.I.P. Jake. Whatever, R.I.P. Jake. Come on, no fucking way. Oh. My has Jake ever burned one down? Have you ever smoked weed?
I've ever smoked weed now.
Really?
Yeah.
You never smoke weed? Ever?
Never.
Are you running for office or something? You never tried it?
No.
Never been curious?
No.
You're missing out, dude.
Dang.
After you beat Thompson, you want to smoke weed?
Probably not.
Come on.
No.
What up? Good time to start, Jake. So, Jake, sweep the leg. Everyone's telling you against Karate Boy.
Oh, boy.
I heard Ronda Rousey caught the clap from Bruce Jenner. No, I don't think that really happened. Ask Jake if he gives a fuck about Steve Thomas. Doesn't smoke weed or get laid. Do you give a fuck about Jake, about what's his name?
Steven Thompson. No.
No.
No, why would I?
Really?
Yeah.
You're not worried about this guy's karate at all?
No.
None?
No.
All right, there you go.
You should see some of the guys that I've been training with.
Yes, I'm at Irvine tomorrow, by the way. Yes, what's up? Love the MMA Roasted. Funny shit. Thank you. I hate Jake's. Somebody's upset about your bald spots on your beard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ellenberger repping Nebraska. Fuck yeah.
Any baby.
First of all, Jake is going to fuck up Wonder Boy. Okay, so after you beat Wonder Boy, who you calling out?
One fight at a time, guys. One fight at a time.
One fight at a time.
Yep.
Ask Jake about Gorgeous George and the Ghost. We love those guys. Thanks, Fonzo Blunt. Am I going 4K? Where's that hot bitch Marina? She trained too hard. Ask Jake who. After Jake's gonna win, he's calling out. I'm calling before him. After Jake beats Thompson, he wants Rory McDonald rematch, and then he wants Robbie Lawler for the title.
Rory will probably win the title against Robbie.
Really?
Yeah, I probably won't get the number one contender fight yet.
Tyron Woodley. He's calling out Tyron Woodley.
If he'll sign it.
Yeah. So, did I smash Marina yet? No, she would smash me. Robbie Lawler is a joke. Where does Jake train since Rain closed? Yeah. Where do you train since Rain closed?
Mostly here in LA.
Mostly here in LA. You're gonna kill Wonder Child. Fuck yeah. Well, listen, guys. Tyron does still fight, yes, and he's a good fighter. So we are going to talk to Chris Weidman right now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Periscope. Your connection, where's the hot puss? There's no hot puss right there. Woodley would not beat Jake's ass, okay? You train with Hanato? Yes, what's going on? Adam, yes, what's up, Stephen Diamond? Fuck me. Thank you. Fuck you, too. All right.
Thank you.
Joe Rogan Podcast. Ellenberger will pull out, no, with an injury. He ain't pulling out of anything, dude. No way. That's why he's having a baby coming
right,
up.
Yeah.
Listen, guys. So thank you guys so much. Keep killing it. Love you guys. All right. So that was our Periscope portion of the show.
Oh, God, yeah. Those guys are fucking clown shoes. I'm going to take this real quick.
Clown shoes? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We had 104 total viewers just now. All right. We are calling Chris Weidman right now, the UFC champion.
Hello.
Hey, is this the champ?
Hey, what's up?
What's up? It's Adam Hunter and Jake Ellenberger. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. What's going on, buddy?
Chilling, man. Nice talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Are you kidding me? This is an honor. We're talking to the one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Of all time.
Yes.
I know it's been hard to get in touch with. So it definitely feels like an honor for you to be on the phone with me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you are, dude. I've been texting you. I'm like, before you even, like, you were like 1-0 in the UFC. I told Dana White, I go, this guy is the next champion. Then we have you on the podcast. I go, whenever you get big, don't forget about us. Never, never, never. Now it's like every time you win a fight, it's like 10 texts to one or 20 texts to one. So
I don't even text
Adam. I don't think I've ever texted you back, so don't lie.
thank you. I appreciate
don't
that.
Don't give yourself the one. I don't know. I'm all over the place, man. They keep me busy as a champion. They just, I'm still the same person, but you guys just got so many things coming at you.
I heard of that. I actually saw on your Twitter, you're still teaching classes for people at your gym?
Yeah. Come down to Longo and Wadman's Mixed Martial Arts Academy in Garden City, and I'll be teaching once a month.
That's insane. That's like LeBron James teaching open basketball classes. I mean, you're the champion, and you still find time to just teach anybody. I mean,
yeah, I'll be honest. Like, it doesn't happen as often as I probably, if I have to be completely honest, I've taught a class one time in the past probably 6 months.
Right.
But I will be teaching. I am actually going to be teaching a wrestling camp coming up at my school, and I'll be there for like the 4 or 5 days straight. So I'm actually going to be legitimately teaching.
That's awesome, dude. That's really cool. You do that. That's yeah. Like, I mean, that's real.
I love to teach, but it. It's hard for me to do it at the school because I'm usually just I'm training in weird hours, and to come back and to teach classes is just, sometimes it's tough. You know, I'm so focused on my career.
Yeah, well, that's still cool, man. I mean, the fact that you take the time to coach wrestling camp and you're the UFC champion says a lot. It says a lot about you, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Now, your last fight against Belfort, I didn't see that ending in the first round. I was like, were you surprised at, like, number one, how kind of easy it was for you to beat him or like submit him, and also that he was punching his way out of mount?
You know, I expected a finish early. I know that he comes hard, and I wanted as much craziness to happen in that fight early because I just know it's going to benefit me. You know, I knew he would get tired, so that's the reason why. Even like if you watch the fight, I'm sprinting after him across the cage. Like usually I wouldn't just, a guy trips, I'm not sprinting after him like a madman. But I was just trying to create any type of chaos as possible because I know that creates anxiety and, you know, which is going to get him more tired. So I just wanted to make it a, you know, kind of a crazy fight. And I felt after he had a little barrage of punches, which was kind of weird because after going back and watching the film, the reason why he started coming at me like a madman, because when I went for my first takedown, my face actually hit against the cage, and I guess I started bleeding. And that's what opened me up. And then after, like, I ran after him, and he got up, and then he just saw the blood. And when he saw the blood, he just thought I was hurt. And so he just started throwing this combination at me, and I'm just like, why is he – what the hell are you doing? And
did he think
I'm
you
like,
were hurt?
You know, usually, like, in sparring, you respond with finishing on gloves on, you just cover punches, and you let guys get tired. But with small gloves on, one of those uppercuts hit me right in my nose and my lip area, and I'm like, "Whoa! I gotta get out of here. This guy actually hits pretty hard." So I had to kind of move out, but I felt him really slow down after that, and I was just like, "You know, I'm breaking him."
Now, were you hurt at all in the first round?
No, I was good. I was clear headed. I just was very conscious of, you know, the fact that I can't just let a guy tee off on me for too long, especially a guy like Vitor. So I had to get out of there. I was just kind of covering, playing defense. And, I wasn't hurt. I know it kind of might have looked like I was, but I wasn't.
I get a little worried about you. Like, in that fight against Machida, that was a great fight. I was at that fight and I had to leave right before the main event. I was so pissed because everyone's like,
really?
Fight of the year. I had a comedy show. I had a stand-up comedy show. I was like across the street in Vegas. But I watched the replay, and that fourth and fifth round, you were taking shots. At one point, you had your hands down and you're like, punch me as hard as you can, which was nuts, against Machida. Were you hurt afterwards? Did you get bad headaches? I mean,
I was out of it for that fight. I remember the post, like my post fight speech. I was on another planet. Even the post fight press conference, I was still just like on another planet. Yeah, I got hit way too many times in that fight.
What did your wife tell you afterwards?
Never do that again. So I have to start making these fights shorter. So after this last fight, it's nice to get a first round finish, and it makes me just want to keep that going. So that's the plan.
Now your wife is super hot. She's this hot Puerto Rican girl. You guys have been together since high school. I remember seeing you at the award show, and I was talking with your wife, and she was looking at you like she was babysitting you. She was like kind of babysitting you. You had a couple too many drinks. I could tell you're yapping up a storm, and she knows exactly where. Even though she's talking to me, she knows exactly where you are. I mean, she.
Of course, man. She's a Latin woman. She's Hawaiian and Spanish.
Yeah,
I have double whammy. So she does not play games.
I remember last time
she knows where I am at all times.
I remember last time you were on the show. You said that you guys were in couples therapy, but then things were getting much better, and you were going to have date night because sometimes you get too involved with yourself. So once a week, you're going to have date night. How's that going?
I don't know, a couple of therapy, but date night. I guess I don't know. Yeah, we got a good relationship. We're doing date night. Date nights are a lot. We pretty much have been date nights all the time.
Nice. I know you guys have been together since high school. How do you keep the relationship fresh? How do you spice it up?
Oh man, I don't know, man. I'm buying a car right now. I think that's exciting. I'm not the most romantic guy.
You're kidding me, really?
What? I'm not the most romantic guy at all. But she loves me. She loves me. Yeah. I'm there. I'm very attentive.
I was watching one of your interviews.
That's why I'm a little aloof right now. I'm actually in the finance office when you buy a car.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot I was on the show, and I saw these weird phone calls. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I have to do the show right now. I'm buying a car right now. So
oh nice. What kind of
car? At the same time, I'm late for sparring. My boy Vellante has a fight coming up, so I have to head down and get sparring with him. And he's pissed off because I'm running late, and so I'm just all over the place right now.
What kind of car are you buying?
You ever hear the new Hellcat, the Dodge Hellcat?
No.
Challenger? They're 707 horsepower. They're basically like impossible to get. They can't make enough of them. They're pretty much like you have to buy them over sticker price because there's a waiting list for them and stuff. They're no joke. So, yeah, I'm getting one of those. It's freaking awesome.
Nice. Well, that'll keep it. I'm sure the wife will like that. That's good.
Yeah, she's on board. And yeah.
Now I know that I know that Rockhold says he could beat you at everything. He might be better looking than you. I'm not gonna lie. He's a good looking guy. You're a good looking guy too. But Rockhold is like
don't just throw me under the bus. Come on. He's got everyone's everybody's different. He's got the surfer West Coast thing going on. I got the East Coast tough guy thing going.
My brother's wife would disagree.
He definitely has nicer hair. I'll give him that, but.
My brother's wife's in love with you.
Oh, really? So Jake Ellenberger's...
Your brother's wife's in love with him?
No, with you. My brother's wife. She's like...
Oh, see?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So she's on Team Wyden.
She's in love with Rockhold. If she met him, she wouldn't be in love with him anymore. Because he's in love with himself.
He is. Did you see him on Millionaire Matchmaker?
Oh, God. I didn't see it, but I heard it was really terrible. At first, from what I heard, it just sounds like funny stories. I like Rocco. We're cool. It sounds like Luke, but then people are like really pissed. Like people really don't like the way he acted.
No, he asked the girl on the first date if she spits with swallows. That was like his opening line, and
he's got game. He's got game. That's funny.
But he says he's better than you everywhere, except for wrestling.
Come on.
What, you don't think he's better than, I mean, he's, standing-wise.
He wasn't even saying, I don't even think he was saying that. He was actually saying everything. He's just better than me everywhere. I don't know. He wasn't excluding wrestling. And so I think this past weekend when I was in Mexico, he seen me, so he felt like being a little bit more honest with himself. But, I think he's just trying to convince himself he has a chance. But he's been avoiding this fight for a long time.
Oh, really?
In my eyes.
Now, according to Tim Kennedy, he says when you guys grappled together, it was pretty even. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good grappler, and I thought he was awesome.
Oh, nice.
It was a long time ago, but yeah, no, he was really good.
Oh, so he's better on the ground than people think he is.
Yeah, he's legit on the ground, very good.
Now, what were your thoughts on Bisping saying that? Like, did you see Bisping's quote about you?
No.
Okay, so Bisping says Mark Munoz came back after a long layoff, had a terrible performance. He beat Munoz, then Chris laid out for 2 years or something like that, injured, came back, got a title shot. Anderson Silva acted like an idiot, and he beat him for the title. Then Anderson broke his leg in the rematch. Then Machida came back. I didn't think the fight was very good. Rockhold showed that Machida isn't necessarily maybe what everyone thought he was. Then Vitor Belfort, and then he gets to find Vitor off the juice. So he's saying that...
It's crazy because I'm a bad offensive fan, but I think it might just be more that you mentioned Bisping and sorry, kind of explain what he was saying. And who is Bisping? No one even knows who that guy is anymore. Who's he fighting? Who is he beat?
Right.
Those are the questions, though. When this guy opens his mouth, those are the things that people should be thinking. I can't even... Everything you just said kind of went in one year and out the other because it came from Bisping.
Right, yeah. It seems like he's kind of sour grapes. I could see why he'd be upset, though, since most of the guys that fought him have tested positive for stuff afterwards. So he kind of got it.
Have what?
Have tested positive for stuff. Like when he, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people were upset that you got to fight Belfort off all the juice, you know? And like,
well, I don't know if he was off all the juice. His scores, he did have 4 times the amount of testosterone I had. And I'm 10 years younger, and this is a guy who needed testosterone for such a long period of time because he couldn't make his own. So obviously, he's still taking steroids.
Wow, did you know that, Jake?
He wasn't legally on TRT. He wasn't under the prescription of TRT, but that doesn't mean he's not taking testosterone and other things.
Now, doesn't that kind of piss you off?
His drug test came back, and his testosterone score was 4 times the amount of mine, but still legal because the way they do it with the urine test is it doesn't go by the amount of testosterone, it goes by the ratio of testosterone to testosterone, which somehow his epitestosterone matched his testosterone, which is obviously there's a way of cheating that too. Because I asked the guy who works with the UFC now, the new guy that they brought in, and there is ways to cheat that. And so that's the only way that I see him being able to have 4 times the amount of testosterone as me. And that's during a training camp. The guy had a 1,200 testosterone score during training camp. When you're in training camp, your shits would be low as hell, which mine was. And this guy had 4 times the amount of me. It's 1,200. So, yeah, he's still taking it. But either way, the difference is I'm beating. I don't care if he's on it or not. I still have to beat the guy.
Yeah, didn't you you volunteered to fight him in Brazil, I heard. Is that true?
Yeah, well, originally, yeah, when we were supposed to fight, I forgot when. This whole career has just been a blur, but we were supposed to fight at some point, and I offered to fight him in Brazil, even with him on the juice. I didn't care. I seen it was going to be a similar fight no matter what. He comes out hard, you could deal the blitz, and then you just break him. And having that in your mind, there's no bigger mental edge a fighter could have than knowing that mentally they could break somebody. And with Vitor, I just knew that going into the fight.
You know what, I like that you're finally getting the credit you deserve, though, because it just seemed like for a long time people were, you know, diminishing what you've achieved, and it was pissing me off because I'm like, what do you want this guy to do? He's knocking out everybody. He's beating everybody.
Yeah.
He's undefeated. Is there a lot of pressure though to stay undefeated?
I mean, there's a lot of pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself to just keep winning every fight, and it's not really like the undefeated thing that sticks out in my mind. It's more just every single fight just feels like the biggest fight of my life, and it's life-changing for me. So that's really the motivation is not like, oh, I have to stay undefeated. It's more I want to completely dominate all these guys in my division. You know, I want to have a couple super fights and then become one of the greatest of all time and retire undefeated. That the undefeated thing is just a part of winning, you know, winning the fights.
What do you think of the Kane fight?
You know, it was crazy because I was right there. I just got back from Mexico. And Kane is one of my favorite fighters to watch. He's always been, you know, coming from the wrestling background, the way he pushes the pace as a heavyweight is just so impressive. The way he mixes up the punches, kicks, and the takedowns is unbelievable. There was a lot going against him in that fight. One being that almost 2 years off,
And two, the elevation. Also, I just think the matchup of Verdum, people weren't thinking that the difference between Kane fighting Verdum and other fighters is that Kane has always been able to mix his wrestling in with no fears. He's always been able to take guys down and let them on the ground and pound them. They get up to their feet and he's just grinding them with punches, kicks, and takedowns. With this one, he was very hesitant for the takedowns. He wasn't as confident because he's worried about the ground. And I think that stressed him out, along with, you know, Verdum's a tough, relaxed guy who is very long and big. And there was just a lot going against him in that fight. I mean, Verdum is no joke.
Now, what are your thoughts? Yeah, he is no joke. What are your thoughts on Jacare? It seems like Jacare is getting better. On Jacare?
What's my thoughts on Jacare? I think he's great. I think I have two guys in my division right now that I got to beat and completely dominate, and those are the two guys, Jacare and Rockhold.
Now, my brother was telling me that he saw some video about you talking about growing up in Baldwin, getting in gang fights.
Growing up in wait, what?
From Freeport, right? From Freeport or Baldwin?
I'm from Baldwin.
Baldwin. So that you used to beat people up on, like, the streets of Baldwin?
I mean, I just go around and beat people up, but if people, I mean, I did get in a lot of fights when I was younger, but I wasn't like this kid going around looking for it. It was more like, you know, I grew up in like a tougher neighborhood, like fighting just happened a lot. So it was just kind of part of it. But when I got into wrestling, it changed my life. It kind of took me away from that and put started directing me into more positive things than just getting in fights and doing bad things.
I'm actually friends with Mondo. You know Mondo?
Yeah,
me and Mondo, I went to Oceanside High School until I got sent to boarding school. But I wrote this movie called Pinned, and I want you to be a part of it. I think I sent you the link. Did you actually get a chance to look at it?
No.
I'll send it to you again. It's the first ever wrestling. Yeah. It's the first wrestling comedy. It's a feature of comedy about a wrestling team, and I'm raising money for it. I would love for you to have a part in it.
What's the name of it?
It's called Pinned.
Pinned?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, that'd be great.
It's going to be a badass movie. Trust me on this one. Chris, this is going to be your breakout film.
Awesome. I'm excited. I appreciate the opportunity.
Nice.
Speaking of films, Chris, is it...
Do I sound excited?
No.
If I don't sound excited, it's because I am in this car dealership right now. I'm like kind of in a weird environment. I got a lot of people. I can't talk very loud.
You're dropping a lot of coin there. You can do whatever you want, man. You can tell them all to go to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, did you get $500,000 for your last fight?
Yep.
Wow. What did you do with that money?
That sound like a lot. It's never enough, you know? What'd I do with it? Hello?
Yeah, what'd you do with it?
Well, you got to put half aside pretty much for taxes. You got to pay your coaches. You got to pay your management. And then and then I bought two quads for me and my wife.
Nice.
And then I'm buying a car right now. This is way more than I've ever done with any of my money.
Mm.
I never buy anything. I've been driving around a car that I have for free for the last, 2 years. I haven't actually paid for my own car in over 4 years. Been just kind of driving free cars. So now this is my first one I'm actually spending money on, other than my wife's minivan. So,
your wife has a minivan? That's awesome.
It's a big day for me. Buyer's remorse. I anytime I want to buy something, I panic, and then I just back out.
I'm the same way. Any big purchase, you're like, get the whole remorse. You're like, should I have done that? Shit.
Well, that's because...
Yeah, I don't really need this. I should spend money on this. This is stupid. This is not a smart decision.
I'm the exact same way, although I have no money. Now, but you're a guy, though, that went from making... You went from making $15,000... Well, you're a guy who went from making $15,000 a year to having... You had your wife support you. You didn't know what was going on. To now making $500,000 a fight. That's got to feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm extremely blessed, man. I got a great family. I've accomplished way more than, especially financially, than I've ever even cared to imagine. So I'm very blessed.
And then I was watching that interview with you and Ariel, and how after you got hurt last time, you and your wife, you dropped the kids off, you guys went to Puerto Rico for a vacation. What did you guys do in Puerto Rico? What did you do in Puerto Rico?
We went to, I think it was the, I don't know what it's called, but there's a casino there. So me and her just went by ourselves. We had someone watch the kids, and went there for the weekend. I had a sick time just playing blackjack, chilling with the wife, smoking a couple cigars, relaxing, kind of getting it out. Because at that point, you know, I got hit. You know, I backed out of the fight. I got injured. My first time actually pulling out of a fight during a training camp. So I was just kind of like depressed. I was really into the fight. And then on top of me being depressed because I'm not going to be able to fight Vitor. Then you got a million people saying I'm a pussy and all this other shit. And it was kind of just pissing me off because I put a lot into the sport and I've taken a lot of fights injured. And if I could fight, I would fight, you know. So I was just like, you know what? I need to get the hell out of here. And at the same point, I didn't know what was going to go on with my belt. They were talking about doing an interim title. So it was just a lot of stress. I was like, you know what? Let's get out of town.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened.
Now, who do you like in the Aldo McGregor fight?
You know, I love Aldo. I'm a big fan of Aldo, but I think McGregor's winning the fight.
How?
I think he finished him TKO.
Wow, what round?
Interesting.
Second round, end of second round.
Nice. Wow,
that's crazy. Trust me, I know the world's going to end if he wins the fight. Everybody wants to see him lose, besides the UFC, but I think he's just so big for the weight. He's very athletic, big, and confident. And I think those are his biggest attributes. Mm. And it does seem like a lot's going on with Aldo. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot. I don't know. This drug testing. His coach is talking about retirement. Maybe he's not 100% into the game. And it's funny because Aldo's coming off one of the most impressive wins, I thought, in his career against Chad Mendes. I feel like he showed a lot in that fight. But for some reason, I still think he's losing his fight.
Now, one of your teammates is going insane, by the way. Your boy, Al Iaquinta. They booed him last time. He flipped out. He's trashing hotel rooms. He's banging girls off Tinder left and right. Are you going to sit him down and talk to him or what?
Hey, he's up, man. He's doing his thing in the octagon. That's the most important thing. So, if he could hold it together outside the ring and inside the ring, and God bless him. I think he's doing great for himself.
I love your whole team, though. By the way, I think he's great. I love Sarah Longo. The Aljamain Sterling, I think, is a champ. Your boy Gian Vellante won his last fight. I think you guys are coming together.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, we got definitely some characters on the team. We all work really hard.
Now, does your wife ever say, like, does your wife ever tell you, listen, Chris, you're the champion, you know, you're undefeated, I'm going to bring home another girl for you?
I'm going to bring home a girl for you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Absolutely not. I wouldn't even say I would want that, because if she hears this interview, she's going to kill me. I would not want that.
Really? You would not? Come on. That's bullshit. You wouldn't say, listen,
I'm saying it one time, and I'm staying to my word. I would not want that. Don't ask me again. No, she does not play games. Like I said, she's Puerto Rican Hawaiian.
Has she ever, like, stabbed you or thrown shit at you?
Of course. I've been stabbed multiple times from her. She's still alive, though. She's the only person that beats my ass on a consistent basis.
Really? She really beats you up?
She beats my ass.
Why? What do you do to have her beat?
You want to know what it's like? You seen that first round of Vitor where I just cover up and I'm backing up?
Yeah.
Just covering up like a little girl, shelling up, taking punches. That's kind of what it looks like in my kitchen sometimes. Because it's knives. Knives coming after me.
Really? Well, I mean, what are you doing that's driving her so crazy?
All right, listen, I gave you too much information. Here, you guys, too much information.
Chris Weidman, you are the champ,
you
man.
The man.
You are the man. I can't
wait to see you
versus Luke Rockhold. I am so looking forward to that fight.
Can't wait. I got to ask Chris. Yeah,
it's going to be an awesome fight. A lot of respect for him, but I got too much riding on this fight. Can't lose to him.
What were you saying, Jake?
Definitely. No, I didn't realize how big he was. At 184, after I fought, we were in the back room. And I was going to ask you, what do you walk around at?
You said that you can't believe how big Luke is?
No, that you are. I said, how much do you walk around at?
Right now I'm like 210. But I used to walk around. When did you see me? UFC
184 in LA at the Staples Center. When we were in the back with Skyler.
I was probably like 210. I was probably like 210, 215 maybe the most. I honestly haven't gone over 215 in like 2 years.
Oh, good.
But before, more than 2 years ago, I literally would get up to like 230.
Yeah, people were saying that
you're a fat mess. I just kind of changed the way I eat. I don't like eat crazy anymore. And but like my fights, I'll be like 200, 201. You know, kind of like, it's kind of similar to what everybody else is at. When I'm in training, I'm down to like 205, 204.
Hey, Chris, was Tom Ryan your college wrestling coach?
Yeah, yep.
I used to go to Tom's wrestling camp back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tom used to drive me to the camp, and he actually gave me a scholarship to Hofstra. I didn't go. I ended up going to Binghamton. But that's crazy. I think me and you would have been on the same team. Well, I'm a lot older, though. But I remember
number one, listen, you did not get a scholarship to Hofstra.
I swear to God, ask Tom Ryan.
Listen, man.
I will bet you. All right, what do you want to bet? What do you want to bet?
Were you a county champion?
I was a prep school champion in Maine. I won the Class A's 4 years in a row, and then
you were what?
I was a Class A prep school New England champion.
Oh, so you didn't go to high school in Oceanside?
No, I went to boarding school in Maine.
But you went to Maine, where there's not one good wrestler.
Listen, fucker,
you got a full scholarship to Hofstra.
I swear to God,
is Maine. Can you just at least educate the audience? Is Maine good at wrestling?
They have Tim Boach was a 4-time Maine state champion.
Okay,
they've had some good guys come out of Maine, but we wrestled prep schools. We wrestled New England. We wrestled.
If you're going to be a state champion, everyone's a 4-time state champion. That's like unheard of.
No, I was a prep school. It wasn't as good as public school. Okay, I will 100% admit that. But I went to Tom Ryan's camp, and Tom offered me. Ask him. We'll ask him.
Who does like who's
okay? I'll tell you. Speaking. I'll tell
you. Stuttering around like this, it's pretty obvious that you're.
I will tell you who I went on my recruiting trip with. Mike Quaglio had me stay at the dorm and brought me on the recruiting trip.
Never heard of him.
Bullshit! You never heard of him. Mike,
never heard of him.
Ask Bill Baroni.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Oh,
gotta go.
Come on!
But can you stop lying to everybody?
You're such a dick. You're such a dick.
Well, thanks for coming on, Chris.
You're not an athlete, but you enjoy talking to athletes.
I will send you my highlight reel. Hello. Hello. I think he hung up. Well, that was champ. That was Chris Wyben. We had the champ on. That was pretty awesome. And by the way, I did get a scholarship to Hofstra. I went to SUNY Binghamton. Fucker.
I don't know anything about East Coast wrestling, man. So.
Now you're doubting me too?
No, I can't. I can't even.
We'll ask Tom Ryan. Tom Ryan.
Okay.
We'll ask him. We will ask him.
I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying I can't reflect.
No, I wasn't as good as Chris Wyben, the New York State champion. Obviously.
Chris Wyben is the best in the world, right?
Fucker, man. When I get my ACL fixed, my knee fixed, we're gonna talk about this. Anyway, that was pretty. That
we
was
gotta
great
set
interview.
It up. We're going to Longo and Weidman's gym, and you're gonna prove to Chris that you can wrestle.
Yeah, give me 2 years of training, getting ready. I will get ready. Will you trade me?
I'll help you, Adam.
Thank you. All right, good. I'm getting August 20th. My knee's getting fixed, and then I'm getting my knee fixed. Listen, guys, I want to thank our sponsors for the podcast. Remove It Restoration. Remove It Restoration. 1-888-424-9697. Has your business been vandalized? Have gang members destroyed your storefront? Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They remove all graffiti and they restore etched windows to get your business back together. Call them at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. Also want to thank HempCore. HempCore, it's the ultimate hemp protein. Go to hempcorestore.com, HempCorestore.com. Trust me, guys, this is, I'm going to be taking HempCore to prove to Chris Wyben that I could wrestle back in the day, or that I could wrestle. What a clown. I can't believe that. I got the champ doubting, I don't blame him. All right, also, we want to thank our third sponsor, American Icon Autographs. American Icon Autographs, www.aiase.com. Sign, memorabilia, and events from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else. Go to their website at aiase.com. This weekend, I will be in Princeton, New Jersey at Catch a Rising Star. In Princeton, New Jersey, Frankie Edgar's coming to the shows. On. I can't wait. Chris Wyman's funny. I can't believe he... All right, anyway. It was... I will be there. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, just relaxing. Yeah, I got training all the way through Saturday. So, yes. Yeah, I'll be... Sunday, I'm not doing anything.
Yes. Okay.
Sitting around, watch TV maybe, relax.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Well, I want to thank Fox Sports. Thank you, Evan the Beard. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you, Chris Wyman, the champ, for being on the show. Yeah. And take care. Have a great day.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.